When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Going to be talking about, so why does anxiety make us feel unsafe? And so anxiety is really complex mental health condition. It's when we say complex, it's like it's hard to dig in there and find out why, how our receptors work, and it's very complex. And a lot of millions of people are suffering, are being affected by mental illness right through the world. Anxiety feels like it's an feeling of unease, worry, a fear, accompanied by physical symptoms such as increased heart rate, sweating, difficulty breathing, while anxiety can be triggered by various factors and commonly arise from perceived sense of threat and danger. So today we're going to be exploring why anxiety makes us feel unsafe, and examine the psychological and physiological mechanism behind this phenomena. Let's just all just dive into it. But sharing a little story about the sweating part for me. I remember when my car stalled once, and I was like on the right lane here in Australia, and there was so much, it's in the city, and there was so much traffic. Car stalled, there was an electrical problem, there's no way I could fix that. No matter how much I breathed, the mind is like that, it's got an electrical system of its own. And once it misfires, or we gave an instruction to misfire, we can sweat aimlessly for no reason. So my car stalled, I was turning right, traffic light. I needed assistance to get my car across the road so I can stop holding up traffic. Other drivers are passing by and, looking at me funny, and started sweating, incredibly sweating in one spot. You know, I can feel my jumper was drenched with sweat. And all because I thought, you know, and I can feel it wasn't a panic attack, but it was more like a shaking nervousness feeling. It was more like that. But I can remember that moment, and I was astounded by the idea that we can, through our thinking, we can create heat in our body. You ever figure that out? So through thinking, we can excite something, and we can engage the fight and flight mechanism in our body, and it was cool to catch myself on that. So let's go talk about a little bit about the flight or fight responses. When we're faced with perceived threat or feel unsafe, our bodies activate the fight flight response, just like I did in my car. And this evolutionary survive mechanism prepares us for like either confront the danger or flee from it. What are we gonna do? Fight or flee? So I was paralyzed in my car. I was shaking. I couldn't even remember the numbers to call for someone called NRMA up here, the road service people, to get me off, assist me to restart my car or just give me a tow across the street. And I tried looking on my mobile to get the number. I was just like, I don't know, I think I was frozen for a minute. At that time, I was super sweating until I just calmed down a little bit, and I said to myself, it's okay, and got out of the car and just watched my car from a distance from the other side of the road. I totally got out of my car and started feeling much better. You know, just watching the circus go by, in other means, other drivers kind of passing me. Yeah, so anxiety triggers like this response leading to an increase like in stress level. The hormones like adrenaline, I felt them, and the cortisol. These hormones heighten our senses of increase our alertness, like, and potential threats. I felt I was a threat to others on the road there. And, yeah, I didn't look at it a different way. I should have, you know, I felt out of place. It was not normal to stop there, you know, in the middle of a traffic light. It made me feel unsafe, and even in seemingly harmless situation where I just had to wait, I had the hazard lights on. I think it was because of past experiences. When my car's also broken down before, I think I stimulated the idea. I felt that feeling of hopelessness, and that's what triggered on my anxiety there and the sweating. Let's look at catastrophic thinking. Okay. Catastrophic thinking. Anxiety often involves like catastrophic thinking where we anticipate the worst possible outcomes in any given situation. This cognitive distortion leads us to like a constant state of hypervigilance where we perceive like danger around us at every corner. It was a bit different being stuck in a car and, you know, and traffic going around, and I didn't want to leave because I was paralyzed, but it was a bit different there. But there was a bit of fear of not knowing what to do, the uncertainty. Gosh, I'm stuck here. What have I done? I started feeling a bit bad on myself and I started criticizing myself. And the fear of potential harm or negative consequences amplified the, you know, these feelings of unsafety, being there, stuck on that road there, holding up traffic forever. I was I just been too pleasy? I don't know. But I felt like I couldn't move. I couldn't think. I was so paralyzed. Couldn't make decisions quickly enough. I wasn't relaxed in that case. It made it difficult to relax and to feel that secure. So I felt insecure in that space. And that's what anxiety feels like for some of us, to be able to create this hypertensions or these ideas, these hypothetical ideas in our minds, and it can make us feel insecure. So let's now give life to like hypervigilance, which is known a lot for anxiety sufferers, can also cause a state of hypervigilance where individuals are excessively alert and attentive to their surroundings, and this heightens the state of awareness. This state of awareness and can be exhausting and very overwhelming once we're in this situation, as it amplifies even the smallest cause of danger. Consequently, with this anxiety, we may constantly scan our environments like for looking for potential threats all the time, leading to heightened sense of unsafety. So hypervigilance is real. Only when you work with people do you notice their mood swings incredibly quick. Very much similar to someone who's going through bipolar. They tend to tense up, the world changes for them. The anxiety does that to us too. Life duality does that to us too, but not that frequently. So we can be very high, you know, hypervigilant to everything and anything that captures our attention, that everything appears to be like a threat, and that's gone to an excessive level. So there was things to do there. Psychiatrists offer stoppers, which are mental calmness drugs to a medication, say to stop that kind of over exaggerating. Let's look at past traumas. Anxiety can be triggered by our past traumas. Experiencing such an accident, abuse, or even relationship abuse or other life-threatening events or experiences can leave a lasting impact on our perception and safety and making us prone to the anxiety in the future situations, and the fear of re-experienced trauma can intensify feeling of safety and lead to avoidance and behavior. This is a good one. Yeah, it's an experience that happened. The only one that I can share is the one when I was like 18 on a bicycle, as you do, showing off, and the front handbrakes weren't working, so I was negligent there, but I was just showing off to my mates, my friends, and doing wheelies, you know, and circling around the street, and before you know it, a car came out and just, you know, it basically threw me off the bike, and the bike went underneath the car, and I was lucky I didn't go underneath the car myself. I can never forget that. And so I am now taking this bicycle. Luckily, after the shock, I was bruised a bit, but then I'm taking my bicycle home, all mangled up. The tires are all, you know, buckled, and this bike is basically needs new tires and needs other bits and pieces. But there I am with the bike trying to cross the street, and I was shaking to cross the street. I remember that. I was still in shock, and I had the fear of crossing a street for a while. It took me about a month or so to get over the idea that I'm safe, but all the time I tried crossing streets, and they had no – and the association was a street because I got knocked over at a street. But even trying to cross a street was interesting, and there's this sensation of fear and feeling unsafe. So, yeah, the traumas can be either short-term or long-term, and they can be reoccurring for anything that stimulates that particular environment. Every time you mind tends to hold a lot of stuff in the unconscious from the trauma or the experience of the accident. That also relates to abuse and emotional abuse, relationship abuse, or all that stuff. So it does impact our lives, and we can go living unsafe. So some of us are feeling unsafe in relationships too, and some of us need to have the courage enough to say, okay, enough's enough. I've done enough. Maybe it's time to revalue this and seek professional help. We can now look into the lack of control. Anxiety often, you know, stems from perceiving lack of control, you know, over a situation. Even individuals feel, even they feel like they have little influence over the environment or the situation. It can generate a sense of unsafety, and this feeling of helplessness can trigger anxiety and make individuals hyper aware of potential threats and further exhibiting their sense of unsafety. Yeah, control is everything. We need to feel safe all the time, and the unexpected, the unknown, on the uncertainties of life cause this to happen, or the outcomes of the uncertainties can generate this unsafeness, which also lead to the triggers of anxiety. Yeah. And then we move into sensory overload. This one's pretty good because, sensory overload. People with an anxiety experience a sensory overload. So when their senses become overwhelmed by stimuli in their environment, this overload can heighten feelings of unsafe, as they struggle to process and filter sensory information effectively. Everyday situations such as a crowded space or loud noises can trigger anxiety, intensifying the feeling of being unsafe. Well, I don't know about me, but I don't know about you, but there have been times where, you know, duality can test you. It can really, really, our life can, you know, darkness seeps in, and you decide to you know, take an offer to go to a restaurant, and you don't know what was going to happen. It's like, whoa, you know, when you get that feeling like, what am I doing here? This feels unsafe. We do have this extra sense in us that we can lock into this we have the awareness to say, this is not the right space. The environment is not the right space. I don't feel this environment. I feel edgy. There's no way. Sometimes we just should say, no, I'm not, and have a boundary. So I'm not feeling it. I don't want to, you know, go out that night. And because I know my anxiety starting to show up. And so sometimes we need to be strong enough, have our own super strong boundary and say, no, I'm going to sit this one out. And well, I didn't. I went against my intuition, and I went to this particular restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant, wonderful restaurant, but loud. It was like it was on a Saturday night, which is the loudest night. And you know, I think I just wanted a sense of very low volume, low noise, low crowd kind of environment for the night. But I walked in because I wanted to, you know, have a meal with a close friend of mine. And but that as soon as I walked in there, that wasn't right. There was so much noise and the environment, and I got super sensitive, overloaded with my senses. I felt my tension rise up. My body was tensing up. I was like not focusing. I had no focus. And I just needed to, I knew what was going to happen next, and I just needed to get out of there and go for a walk, because I can feel even anger sipping in. So I needed to move away from that restaurant, that noise. And then I walked 3 kilometers back home. I didn't want to catch any taxis or like Arubas or something like that. And I just walked back home, and I started feeling okay only after the 3 kilometer walk. So that was an interesting night. But yeah, I know the overload can really affect us when we feel anxious. But the key here for me was I learned something special, to recognize the actual triggers coming on. And the moment we can, you know, we can feel those senses coming on, there's no point being in that space. We need to move away from that space, to show our excuses and be authentic with anxiety. Do not feel like you're going to be judged because you have anxiety. That's wrong thinking. Best to say, be honest and say, this is just not working for me. I'm sorry. I need to go because I'm just overloaded. My senses are being overloaded, and I'm struggling at the moment. And move away and find ways to calm down. Yeah, so we have that. Now we can move on to, let's talk to what are some of the strategies that we can employ or some of the tips that we can have. What are the tips to, you know, to regain a sense of safety and well-being, to keep feeling the safeness to do that. So what are the things we can do? So we can employ like several techniques so we can, you know, be more in our well-being. But, you know, all this, what I'm about to mention might not work for some people, but they work for some people. So these techniques are cool, and they might, you know, depends how you practice them. And I'm not saying they're all going to work, but most of them work for me. So deep breathing is one of them, and deep breathing relaxation techniques. And it is focusing deep breath exercise. And we normally focus with you breathe through the nose and breathe through the nose and expand your stomach area. That's all you do. So you guys use the breath, the nose, or the nose. You can use the nose and the mouth. So for me, using the mouth is more effective. Straight away, after a minute or so, I start feeling relaxed. Even my body starts to tingle because it's going to the nervous system, and the less tensions, there's less tension there. So deep breathing, relaxation techniques, such as through the stomach area breathing or box breathing, can help activate the body's relaxation response. The box breathing is basically following, you know, like from here we go inhale, like I make a box, right? I draw a box with my finger, and I go inhale. Hold for four. Exhale. Hold for four. Inhale. Hold for four. Exhale. Hold. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. So you got the gist of it. You can use your finger to guide you, or you can just do it mentally. That'll help. So that's the box prep. So that helps, and that can help activate the body's relaxation responses. These techniques promote like calmness and reduce the physiological symptoms of anxiety, the muscular, the nervous system. And incorporating relaxation practice like progressive, the muscle relaxation or meditation can also help alleviate anxiety and create this sense of safety. There you go. Another one is mostly common used by therapists and also anxiety coaches. It's the cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, is widely used for therapeutic approaches for managing anxiety. It focuses on identifying and challenging negative thoughts, patterns, and replacing them with like more realistic positive ones. And by reframing negative thoughts, we can all reduce to anxiety and regain a sense of control and safety. And working with a qualified people, therapist, can be highly beneficial. So there's a lot of materials and resources we can get our hands on. But it's all about challenging the negative thoughts, challenging our thoughts, and then reframing to more positive ones. And realizing half the things, more than the things we think about, are not correct, and it's because we're just avoiding the and don't want to go into something that's unknown. We want to stick with what is known, even if it destroys us, so which is unfortunate. Yeah, so CBT is good. So if you're getting some therapy, recommend trying or learning about CBT. You can actually journal and do that yourself too, but it's better to have a one-on-one consultation with an anxiety coach or a CBT specialist. So there we go. Self-care and stressing and management engagement in self-care activities can significantly improve the overall well-being and reduce anxiety. Now, this may include activities like regular exercise, maintaining a balanced diet, gathering enough sleep, getting enough sleep, and practicing relaxation techniques, and managing stress through activities like journaling, like engaging in hobbies. We can look at or investing time in the nature also help alleviate anxiety and promote this sense of safety. It's all about safety. What do we do to embrace and harness safety here? So another thing that we can do is gradual exposure. Desensitization for people with anxiety triggered by specific situations or phobias. Gradual exposure, desensitization can be effective. It involves like a gradual exposure and oneself to a feared situation or object or in controlled and safe manner. Over time, repeated exposure, and this is the thing, we start to accept it, and then we can help us reduce the anxiety. And then we feel much safer. Now, the story with me was I went to a market in Queensland, which is your Monday markets in here. And I think a lot of people in Australia know about it. But there was a snake catcher. And for a small fee, the way we were able to, put a snake along our necks. And but we had one hand, looked up the tail, hold the tail, and the other hand was the head of the snake. And what's the name of the snake? It was like a Pathanon. So there was a big average. It was a little. It was a baby. It was for that size. They grow much bigger than that. But that was only a small snake. And but it's been devenomized, and otherwise they wouldn't just, you know, risk people's lives. And it was pretty pretty tame, and I think it was used to going around people's necks, and you had to be very sensitive and gentle with it. I did have a fear of snakes. I still do, especially the ones in the bush that you can't see them, they're slithering, and they're just like, they're amazing. But I think in Australia we do have a lot of snakes, and this time I actually had one on my neck, and I was challenged to do that. At that point I didn't want to do it. I had the fear of it. I felt unsafe, but then I put that snake on my neck, and I'm never ever going to forget that story. And I was sweating there a little bit, you know, even from the idea. But I had to. A friend of mine, they did it, so I couldn't chicken out, so I had to do it. So that was interesting. Yeah, my snake story about, you know, gradual exposure or extreme exposure to a situation. So, but it was good fun. It ended up quite nice, and now I'm telling a story. So. Yeah, so seek support, connecting with loved ones who can emphasize anxiety, who understand you, support groups who understand, who've got going through the same thing, just joining this type of space and share the experience and gain insights and always learning and learn coping strategies from others and who have already had the same challenges. And it's amazing how many people offer their experiences and so there's many, many healing modalities out there. It's just a matter of picking the ones that kind of work for us. Another one is the modality of mindfulness and grounding techniques. Practicing mindfulness involves paying attention to like present moment about and without any judgments. And mindfulness techniques such as focusing on the breath, the body scan exercise, which you've basically visualize on different, while your eyes closed, visualize on different parts of the body, moving energy through our bodies, engaging their senses can help redirect the attention away from anxious thoughts and bring individuals back to the present. And grounding techniques such as naming objects in environment, or using a grounding exercise like you're saying 5-4-3-2-1 method, which says like what are the five things you can see? What are the four things that you can feel? What are the three things that you can touch or feel touch? What are two things you can smell? And what are two things you can hear? And what are one thing, you know, that you can taste? Something like that. So we can have that. We can have the 5-4-3-2-1. It just helps you ground yourself and helps you come up and get you distracted from anxiety. Great method to have with someone that's challenged by anxiety. So there you go. That's what I normally do with clients who need to be grounded before we actually go into some meditation. And once again, remember that it's essential to consult a medical health professional to determine what's suitable and strategies that work for you to manage your anxiety. They can provide personal guidance, support based individual and circumstances. I'm happy to do one-on-one with you and happy to help. So I'm going to leave some details at end of the description box. Also, you might want to join Anxiety to Tranquility, our Facebook account. Or call me or email me via or even set a date on my calendar. All right then, folks. So before we end, we're going to go and do a meditation. I'm going to do a small – I haven't done a meditation for a while, but I think it's time to do a meditation on feeling safe. And it's called Cultivating Inner Security and Protection and to Feel Safe. And so I just simply want to invite you to think about being in this meditation and to guide you towards feeling peace within you, I invite you to find a nice, comfortable space. And take a deep breath with me. Hold to the top. And exhale. Once again, deep breath through the nose and expand your stomach as you inhale. When we go into together, we're going to find peace. And we look at these following sentences, and I'm in the sense when the first one we can say is, well, first of all, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes and feel into this space. And I ask you to do a deep breath through the nose again, again, getting more sensitized, more centered. And just relax and start feeling where you are, where you're sitting, where you're laying down. And think about words like, I am surrounded by a cocoon of safety and protection. With each gentle breath, I release fear and invite safety into my being. I trust in the universe to guide me towards safety and well-being. I'm aware of the present moment and the safety it holds. Safety resides within me, and I carry it whenever I go and wherever I go. I release any worries or concerns and embrace the feelings of safety. I'm divinely protected and shielded from harm. I attract positive and safe experiences in my life. Safety flows through me, grounding and stabilizing my energy. I'm surrounded by loving energy that keeps me safe. I trust my intuition to guide me towards safe decisions and actions. I create a safe space with myself where I find solace and peace. I release the need for control and surrender to the flow of safety. I am deserving of safety and allow it to manifest in my life. I am resilient and I have the strength to overcome any challenges that come my way. I let go of any past experiences that no longer serve me. I serve my safety and embrace new beginnings. I'm aware of my surroundings and make choices that prioritize my safety. I trust in the power of love to protect and keep me safe. I'm surrounded by a supportive network of people who care for my safety. I release any attachments to fear and embrace the feeling of safety and overwhelmingly and wholeheartedly. I'm mentally and emotionally prepared for any situation that may arise in my environment. I'm guided by my inner wisdom to make choices that promote my safety, and I never will ever neglect that choice, that guide, that inner wisdom. I radiate the sense of safety and security that others can feel in my presence. I'm a magnet for possible and positive, safe experiences in all areas of my life. I'm grateful for the safety that surrounds me and peace it brings. And friends, take a moment now to appreciate the sense of safety and protection that these sentences have brought into your awareness. And let's all remember that safety is not just an external condition, but also an internal state of being. And as you continue your meditation practice and carry the feelings of safety within you, allowing it to guide your actions and decisions, and know that you have the ability to create a secure and protected space for yourself and to create this wonderful space. And with all that, I hope you've enjoyed this episode 144, creating safe environments amongst anxiety. And you are safe, my friend. So it's all like, it's most of it's all made up. It appears real. It's like fear is false evidence appearing real. And with all that, we'll close. And if you feel or inclined, you feel like you want to reach out to me for some help and assistance and or even accountability buddy to help you through some of this anxiety, and you need someone to talk to, I'm here. I'm going to leave my information in the description box. By all means, join one of our support groups, and we're all in it together. And yes, so this is Nick here, Nick Janssen, Holistic Health Coach for Anxiety. Namaste, my friends, and all the best. Till our next episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.